Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Prime Day es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
¡Wow! Gracias. Ni siquiera preparé un discurso.
Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time!
The best there is, best there was, and the best there ever will be! And you know it!
With a tear in my eye!
The queen of the crop, acknowledge me!
What is up, everybody? It's episode 343 of Top Rope Nation. It is a Monday evening. We're talking a little AEW Double or Nothing. And maybe the latest on Becky Lynch, too. Got some late breaking news on Becky Lynch and her status with WWE, which we'll hit on here right as we carry this show into Monday Night Raw. So thank you for joining us live. If you are right now, we are your Monday Night Raw pre-show and sure to be better than Monday Night Raw. Jesse Velasquez, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Aren't we always, though?
We should be. I would hope so.
I think the only Raw in question would be the one right before WrestleMania 40, at least this year.
Yeah.
At least better than our average show, I would suppose.
As I'm looking at you on our YouTube stream right now, Jesse, I can tell we're recording earlier in the day that the sun's out because your lighting is impeccable. You look really good on the video stream right now. You can tell it's you know, the sun is still up. Get that natural sunlight coming in. Very nice.
Natural sunlight, yes. Natural light, no, because it's kind of ominous. It's dark at the moment. Ah. We just got a whole bunch of rain the last hour and a half. Hail for about 5 minutes.
Ooh, not good.
I avoided it by about 45 minutes, rolled in at about 3:15. Yeah, the heavy stuff started around 4.
Well, I'm glad you made it back because, yeah, 24 hours ago, we were all watching Double or Nothing together. Now we're back in our respective studios. Justin Joint, welcome to the show, sir. How you doing?
Go Celtics.
Yeah. I wish I could say the same for the T-Wolves. We've all been rooting hard for the T-Wolves, and brutal. That was a bummer. We're doing the two-screen experience last night for a little bit. Who knows? Maybe they could come back, run off 4 straight. It's been done before.
I'm doing good. You know, it's kind of always a little bit of a downer after such a fun day hanging out with friends watching pro wrestling. So, you know, today has not been quite as much fun as yesterday, but I'm glad we're here to talk some wrestling.
Yeah, that's fair. It's hard to top yesterday. Great times. And, you know, we had other friends here that were watching the show with us too. We had a great crowd together to indulge in a little pro wrestling. And I guess right away, let's get your grade. And those of you joining us live here on the show right now, let us know what you thought of Double or Nothing. We have a poll up on our Twitter page as well, but let us know your thoughts. You can send us a super chat if you would like. Those are open. Of course, subscribe to the channel while you're here if you haven't already. Jesse, your grade for Double or Nothing 2024, A through F. What are you thinking?
A B. Straight B. There was nothing horrible. It just went long. There was probably 3 matches I could think of that you would have been better served on television. That seems to be the tendency, I think, for AEW pay-per-views as a whole. 4.5 hours, too. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I think one of us noted, we're like, oh, it's 10 o'clock. The triple main event's just starting. Okay. how much longer is this going to last? And yeah, it ended up going off the air right around 11:30. But no, I mean, I think if you could have cut, again, one or two matches off of this show, it would have been, I would at least brought up to a B plus, maybe an A minus, because there wasn't that one match where it just was eye popping like the last two shows for me. At least.
Justin, what about you?
I will give you a grade, but first I will say it's more of an incomplete right now, just because watching it, there's just nothing better than watching wrestling with friends. The flip side of it is you're more than likely not going to be paying as close attention as you normally would be. And so, you know, we had so much great conversation going on, so many good snacks all over the place, kids being crazy all over the place. So my focus wasn't 100% like it would normally be. Having said that, I 100% agree with Jesse on the length and how easily you could have cut it down. There is some stuff that really annoyed me about this show that we'll probably get into. And to me, that really hurts it. And so I'd probably go C plus.
All right. A little lower. Okay. So I graded this live last night. If you guys didn't tune in, I did the BR show on the BR app, Bleacher Report, right after these guys left my house. Justin looked at me and he was like, good luck. Such a long night. And I'm like, all right, I got to go do a stream now. But Jeremy Loss, who I do those shows with, he was great as always. And we had a really good discussion. You can hear some of that audio on our Patreon page, by the way. I put that up, the instant reaction to the show last night. And in the moment, I graded it, I think a B plus. I'll stay there. I think I bumped it up a little bit just because I enjoyed watching it with the company that was here. And you know, when I think of my grading criteria, as always, I got to have that match of the year to get it to the A level match of the year contender. We did not have that for this show. Like we did a Dynasty. That Dynasty was a better show, not just because I was there and being biased, but I think it just objectively was a better show. That was an A show for sure. This one had some highlights that were pretty cool. Like there's some things I would maybe go back and watch. I'll put it at that B level. Like Justin, I mean, there's some things I took issue with. I definitely would have tightened up this show. I thought that there were two matches back to back that both should have been Dynamite matches. You know, the Orange Cassidy Trent match and the Jericho Hook, the triple threat like that. Those did not need to be on this show. I mean, when you look at the match times on those shows and then you add in the entrances and the between match stuff, you're talking like 35 to 40 minutes they could have cut with those two matches right there, and that gets it down to that four hour mark. So I thought they were a little ambitious in what they put out there and the time that they gave, because I think the shortest match on the show was darn near 13 minutes long, wasn't it, Jesse? You looked that up today. It was like over 12 minutes, 12 something.
Yep. I mean, 12:18.
12:40.
And
oh, no, excuse 12:20. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So like, yeah, that's the thing. You gotta, I know they're trying to give people their money's worth, but look, I'll feel like I got my money's worth with a 4 hour show. It doesn't need to be four and a half. Plus the pre-show, you know, a couple matches on the pre-show too. So you're talking a 5.5 hour long show. And I mean, back when AEW started and they had four pay-per-views a year, I get it. You're trying to get everyone out there. You have these quarterly pay-per-views, but now they're pretty much running monthly pay-per-views. There's no need. We don't need that much. So overindulgent for sure.
I'm going to bump up my grade to a B minus, just because of MJF's outfit for when he returns. Just for that alone, I'm bumping it up.
Absolutely incredible. If you guys did not see the show last night, MJF, I'm trying to get it on the screen right now. This guy came out in the like Hunter Hearst Helmsley Triple H early 2002 MSG return after the torn quad. It was just a great callback. Let me see if I can share my screen here. Let me get this up on the screen right now.
Absolutely unbelievable. Hilarious. Incredible stuff from MJF.
There it is. Look at that. Even had his logo on the back patched in just like Hunter did on that outfit. I mean, so good. I'm going to ask you guys a question about his return, because this was a talking point on the BR show last night that I did. Did you take any issue with the way MJF returned? Would you have done it that way? Did you think it was bad how they had him come out after the opening match? After Ospreay took that title from Roddy Strong, and then Adam Cole did his, you know, surprise return in his promo. What did you guys make of that? Justin, I'll throw it to you. What did you think of the way
it was a little confusing, just because, like, why wouldn't have, if Adam Cole was there and ready to come out, why wouldn't he have come out and helped during the Ospreay Roderick Strong match? That was kind of mind boggling. And then to have the moment with him and MJF, and for MJF to basically immediately poop all over the angle that set up their feud, you know, with the devil stuff, he just crapped all over it, which, I mean, kudos to him, because, you know, it wasn't all that great, but it just kind of killed that entire program, in my opinion. It's like, are they still going to go to that, even though, you know, he basically told everybody this was dumb? But having said all, you know, MJF is awesome on the mic. The attire alone made it worth it. And, you know, his announcement that, you know, he was AEW, even, you know, with a very bad tattoo that, I don't know, he couldn't have paid all that much for it or had done it, you know, after maybe a few drinks after signing that big money contract, I'm assuming. Maybe that's when he got the tattoo. And we all know that, you know, if you really want to make a statement, you put a tattoo on your neck.
You mean you wouldn't put a tattoo where your boot's going to cover it for the rest of your career?
Yeah, exactly.
Not so brave, maybe? Okay. Yeah. Jesse, go ahead. Your thoughts on all of this.
Doesn't that make life so much easier? Yeah, just hide it behind a boot. Absolutely perfect.
There you go.
I thought, I actually, that was the very first remark. As soon as they were like cut to immediately right before Adam Cole's promo, I said, where's Adam Cole? And his music hit. Mm-hmm. Instantly, I was like, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I with Justin's point, that really confused me. Just MJF just destroyed him and to just get him the hell out of my ring. I was like, oh, that was fast disposal of that angle. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just playing it up as important. And I thought that was the one thing that was holding the Undisputed Kingdom together. Just waiting for MJF to return. Now, what do you do with the group? Because Roderick Strong just lost the title. He's now the Kingdom and ROH in their tag titles. Who cares?
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, that storyline died the minute MJF left. And then because you couldn't have Adam Cole working any matches, and then he disappeared. And maybe it is dead, to Justin's point, because we don't have Adam Cole ready to work yet. So, I mean, MJF's just going to have to move on to something else, because that's, you know, that was the payoff and they can't even do it yet.
I can see Wardlow being that first opponent.
Yeah.
Kind of keep it going in that aspect. Yeah. But again, yeah, everything's essentially dead and buried.
Let's start to this. Jesse, how do you feel about Will Ospreay becoming the international champion?
I was fine with it. Yeah. I think it's going to delay him getting that world championship for a while. I would like to see it in 2025. I mean, what's been crazy is, and I think this point was made, yes, your big three signees in AEW now all hold singles championships within under 3 months of them arriving on the scene. Officially, Ospreay's obviously had matches, Okada's had matches, but also Mercedes. And good opener. I was slightly surprised. I thought it would be maybe middle or even towards the tail end, just because Ospreay's been getting the star treatment. But to kick off the event with arguably the hottest wrestler in the world, I think it was a great way to do it. Vegas, shout out to that crowd. They did a really good job. Yeah, it was a fun match, and Roddy Strong definitely looked the part. It was a really fun opener. Might have been match of the night. I think it would just depend on who you ask and what their taste is in matches. Yeah.
Hey, we predicted it. You know, we were trying to think about all afternoon what is going to open the show, and we said, hey, kick off with Ospreay's theme song. He's going to get a great reaction. He's literally the first one out of the tunnel when the pay-per-view proper starts. Made a lot of sense. It was a match on paper that you thought might be the match of the night. And like you said, it's in the discussion for being that. Justin, your thoughts on Will Ospreay now having the international title?
Great. I don't have any problems with it. I don't think that it impacts him possibly becoming world champion at, you know, All In by any means. If anything, that could elevate that title. By having whoever holds that win the world championship also. I also think it's a good way to keep him out of the title picture until that point also. So I in my opinion, it opens up more options for AEW without really taking anything away. You know, Jesse made the great point. All these big new signings all got shiny new belts around their waist. And I don't think that's a bad thing by any means. If anything, my only problem with it is, you know, poor Roderick Strong. You know, I thought he was doing a good job as champ, but I also think now it's probably going to be a kind of a forgotten title reign.
Yeah. I mean, this is a title ever since they renamed it after it was the All Atlantic Championship, and then it became the international title. And then Orange Cassidy last year being one of the top wrestlers in the company, holding it, Moxley getting it, you know, briefly. They main evented a pay-per-view with this title. It has some prestige. It hasn't been around that long, but it definitely has some prestige. I don't think it's beneath him to hold it. I do think that he is clearly the guy in the company right now. And we're going to talk about what that means for Swerve here in a little bit. But look, if they were going to have him defeat Danielson, and we've had this conversation on the pod many times, but I felt going into that match, he should have lost and it would have gave him something to do in overcoming Bryan Danielson throughout the summer. Since they didn't go that way, I think this is about the best they can do. I think that he's not going to become world champion right now because Swerve just got it. So it wasn't going to happen right now. So this puts him in, not the top tier, but it puts him with another title that has had a lot of prestige in the past around it. He can continue to elevate that title with great work rate matches, and he'll stay popular. I don't think it's going to like harm his career to have this title. And we joke about AEW having a lot of titles and everything, but this one has had prestige. So I think it's totally fine. I don't know what else you would do with him if he doesn't win this title here. Now, speaking of a lot of titles, I don't know if you guys heard Tony Khan on the press scrum. You might cringe if you didn't hear this comment, but he was asked about titles. And he said, you know what I would like to do? Tag team titles. Jesus. Nobody else is doing that. Mixed tag team titles. And I was, by this time, everyone was gone. It was late. I just got done with the BR stream, but I'm shaking my head so hard watching this. Like, no, you don't need mixed tag team titles. The last thing this company needs is more championships. For the love of God, please do not let that idea come to fruition. So, yeah, no.
Is that in response to the WWE Speed Championship?
Oh God, I hope not. let's not do it. So that's Ospreay, and I think I'll just go right to this now because I know we're looking to have a pretty tight show tonight. So Swerve Strickland, I said last night on the BR show, it reminds me a lot of Hangman when he was world champion. It's like history echoing here, history repeating itself. Because remember when Hangman, he finally won the title at Full Gear. We were all there. Such a great moment. And when you look back on Hangman's reign, yeah, he had some great matches during that time, but he was never the focus of the shows, even though he was super over. And when he won the title at the Target Center, it's one of their great moments to that point in company history. Arguably the best storyline that they had until then, maybe that they've still ever had. And then he becomes world champion. And all of a sudden, he's not the focus of the show anymore because CM Punk's there, and he's early in his run. Cole had just jumped. Danielson was there and he wrestled Hangman, but it just seemed like he didn't get much of the shine, even though he was the world champion, even though he was doing good stuff. Now here we have Swerve Strickland, who of course we are huge fans of, top Swerve Nation. We've said it many times on this podcast. And he's finally the world champion, and he's one of the best talents in the company, and he definitely deserves to be champion and everything. But his title reign has felt directionless so far. Now, I know we're only barely a month into it, but like this Christian thing didn't seem, they did an okay job building up to it, but it was basically a stopgap challenger. He doesn't really have the built-in challenger now. The natural storyline until Hangman comes back. But their next pay-per-view is Forbidden Door, so I don't think they're going to be doing it there. So I don't know what he's going to be doing there. Eventually, maybe you get to the Hangman match by the end of the summer. And that would be the best match he could do right now, the best feud, because that was what really catapulted him last fall into this next stratosphere in AEW. But do you guys see what I'm saying? Does it feel kind of like, you got this guy, Will Ospreay, who is just so clearly the guy in waiting. We were down there at Dynasty, Justin. He had the biggest reaction all night. Swerve got a big reaction too, but it wasn't like Ospreay. Now, Ospreay had an all-timer of a match, but before the match, even just his entrance, everyone was so into it. It was the pop of the night. And you recognize he's the guy already, while this other guy, who everyone wanted to see win the title, is still there. But now it feels kind of like his shine is not where it should be. I'll throw it to you, Justin. go ahead. Your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, you really nailed it. I think there's some small differences that should make a difference, and that's that, you know, Punk's stardom is just at a different level than I think as Will Ospreay's. So I think the task of making Hangman the biggest deal was impossible considering that. Whereas, you know, Will Ospreay still, number one, familiarizing himself with the U.S. audience, you know, people that don't watch New Japan or pay attention to New Japan, you know, regular U.S. cable watchers. So his star is like, it's still on the rise. And so they should still be able to make Swerve the number one deal in the company. Mm-hmm. And that's not what they're doing. Even with, you know, like the feud with Christian, 100% agree with you. It is a stopgap. They're just, you know, holding everything in place until they can, you know, get to the next feud. I do think it was well executed, but just like with Cody and AJ, zero believability that his challenger was an actual challenger. And now, you know, they may have just been better off going right back to a Samoa Joe feud. So that's kind of the concerning thing to me, is that Swerve should be a bigger deal and he's not right now.
That's a great call on Cody, because it's kind of the same thing happening over there. He doesn't have the built-in challenger. They did the AJ match. They did Logan Paul. But these aren't like long-term challengers, most likely. Although I could see him doing a Logan Paul match, even at SummerSlam, just because of the eyeballs that guy brings to the product, if they wanted to do a return match. But like with him, it's the Rock match that's just kind of hanging there, right? Like whenever they finally get to the match with the Rock, whether it's SummerSlam or WrestleMania next year, like that's what we're waiting on. And it feels like Cody's kind of treading water in between, and he doesn't have the natural heel challengers built up. Jesse, your thoughts on all this?
I think Swerve has three opponents that he can call on that would be big deals. It'd be Hangman Page, it'd be Will Ospreay, and it would be MJF. I mean, mm-hmm. There was that interaction late November, early December, where MJF and Swerve got into it. They have a history in MLW together as well. So, I mean, I think that's where Dynasty, the name of the pay-per-view, came into play. That was the name of the faction in MLW. I think it was MJF's. So, yeah. Swerve, what I will say about him is that I'll give this a pass only because Double or Nothing historically has put their main event has always been either Stadium Stampede or Anarchy in the Arena. The world title has never been the focus, because even in 2019, they didn't have a title. It was Jericho versus Omega main eventing to become the person to wrestle Hangman Page for the world championship. So we'll give that a pass for now. But to your point as well, with Forbidden Door, Swerve will probably either open the show, maybe be in the middle somewhere. They're going to throw a dream match in there. So that leaves you with All In and a long time to build. So you do have the time to put the focus back on him. Now you just have to get one of the three opponents that I mentioned. You could even sneak Danielson in there potentially as well.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Yeah, I mean, it's true that there have been several world champions in the company's short history where they weren't really the top feud in the company. I mean, Double or Nothing 2 years ago, Justin and I were there. I mean, it was Punk Hangman, the feud that obviously derailed eventually Punk's entire run with the company. We didn't know it at the time. I mean, that was clearly the money match on that show. Anarchy in the Arena was freaking awesome at that show, though, too. Didn't main event, but it was unreal. I feel like when you think of the world champions the company's had, I mean, clearly when Omega had it, he was top dog. the belt collector and doing all that. Joe was great too. Unexpectedly great for maybe some of the audience. We were huge Joe fans going in, like we knew he was going to be. But you're right. I mean, there has been times where it didn't seem like it was the focus. MJF, he got the title and then he did the tag team thing. And then like, that was my big problem last summer. Remember when they were doing that with Cole, is I didn't like how the world championship was in the background. It was more about the tag team title run that they were on. And so that was another time where the world title kind of took a back seat. So it definitely has been a trend. I agree with you. Those are big feuds that are out there. When Ospreay gets there, everyone's going to be expecting the title change. MJF, that would be interesting because the dynamic of Max being gone for so long and maybe not wanting to take a loss right away, but maybe needing to, and just the politicking behind the scenes that could happen in that feud would be pretty interesting, I think. But I would like to see Hangman first before any of that other stuff. I'd like to see him go back to that. That's the natural built-in feud for him, I think.
MJF's been one of the most protected guys in the company. He's still only 27 years old. I'm assuming this contract's going to be 4 to 5 years. He's going to get the title back within the next year and a half, 2 years. I mean, he doesn't need it right away. So a loss, I don't think, is going to kill him. You can always, someone can be a distraction at that point in time and he'll end up losing the match anyway. I was going to go back to, MJF Danielson at Revolution 23, I think, was one of the last times I can remember. And then All In, Cole and MJF being where the title was the sole focus.
Yeah. Yep. So I mentioned Anarchy in the Arena here a second ago, and let's go right into that. All right. That one closes the show last night and is they got a lot of time. We got to hear Final Countdown, which I thought was, he didn't come out to it. Brian didn't come out to it, but they played the song. And I thought it was pretty funny when the Bucks looked at the camera and said, no, this costs $200,000 every time we play it. Cut the music. That was funny. But I liked hearing it. The crowd obviously liked it. I know our friend Frank Pettiani was in the house at the MGM and he appreciated that. But like that match went 30 minutes after, 4 hours. It's starting at the top of the hour at 11 central midnight Eastern when the bell rang. And I thought they had entertaining spots. They also had some confusing spots. I thought the thing where you had Darby get run over by Perry outside, that was kind of awkward how that all happened. They just cut and all of a sudden there's this car ramming into this big pile of stuff. And then you never even saw Darby laid out or anything like that. And then like the next thing you know, Perry's walking into the arena and he's like soaking wet. And my oldest daughter who was watching with us looked at me and she was like, Dad, why is he so wet? And then all of a sudden when he got lit on fire, I was like, that's why he was so wet. Chemicals to protect his body. I mean, at least they paid off the fire, and the blowtorch and everything. So maybe surprising there. So, I mean, that ended up cool. We've seen like the stuff with the spikes on the shoes before. They wanted to promote the Reebok deal they got, I guess, with pumps and all of that. Jesse, what'd you think of it?
Yeah, notice how that half hour off, by the way, it's like 11:30. And it's like, well, there you go. That extra 30 minute overrun was this match. You could have easily cut the two in half. Justin Joint all of a sudden is, I don't know, he's morphed. It's like, honey, I shrunk the kids.
Oh my goodness, his son is on the screen. Maybe, I don't know if he wants his son on the stream, so I'm going to just put him in the waiting room. Justin's son is shirtless in his studio. Now he's talking to the mic. So
I know he can't just in time. For us to talk about Darby Allin, there was a spot where Darby and Jack Perry, they were in an ice bath or somewhere along those lines. It was almost recreating the Matt Hardy spot with, I think it was Santana and Ortiz in one of the hot tubs upstairs.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think,
Stampede. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I think that was kind of a playoff into that as well. I thought it was a little odd that Okada just came out in his natural ring gear.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
For a street fight. And he seemed to be, he was always the guy breaking up the pin in the last 15 minutes. I swear he made about 10 saves where I'm just going, oh, there's Okada again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just, I think he threw a couple of drop kicks and didn't really add much to this match. He was out of his element.
Yeah. I mean, overall, I thought finish probably made sense with the Elite winning, continue to pushing this group pretty hard moving forward. So I was fine with that. I thought it was a little overindulgent. They probably could have ended this thing 5-10 minutes earlier. But they got all the spots and they won. And surprisingly, I heard Frank talking about this on the Torch show. He was live on there after the show last night. I went back and watched this today. That crowd, it surprised him. They were all super into it still. Despite the length of that show, that crowd was popping loud for everything over 4 hours into the show. And I mean, you're talking people getting to that arena an hour before. I mean, they had been there for 5.5 hours at that point in time. You'd think they'd be tired, but I guess it was still early out in Las Vegas. So they were ready to go. They were rearing to go, and it was fine.
Valid point. Yeah, it would have been 9:30 their time when it ended. It starts at 5 and ends at 9:30. Yeah, that's still really early. And yep, I guess someone made the point in the chat, thank the Lord, past midnight. So you had Memorial Day off to recover. Made things a lot easier there. And then, Darby getting hung upside down was a thing as well. Ooh. Thankfully, I will say that, thankfully he was turned. I mean, he was only elevated about 3 to 4 feet. So no harm, no foul in that aspect. Could have gone a lot worse.
We talked about that. We were talking about it here in the watching at my place when it happened because, you know, they had Martha Hart announcing the Owen Hart tournament again this year. And she's like in the building and we're like, are they really going to raise him up in the air like that? Cause that would be, I'm sure Martha would approve it. You know, when Sting rappelled down from the rafters back in early March, they actually called Martha to okay it with her first, to make sure she was comfortable with it since she has that relationship with the company, which was a nice gesture on their part. So I'm sure that she approved this and it was fine, but I could definitely see how people were like, oh God, you know, the same night they were talking about Owen, do you really want to do something like that? But yeah, I mean, he was only like 6 feet off the mat. So it ended up being totally fine, but it's Darby. I mean, we were worried he might go way up into the air. Luckily they didn't do that. But yeah, I mean the Owen, that's another talking point. I love that they're making that this year for a world title shot for the men and the women at All In. Because when you do these tournaments, you got to give them real consequence like that, right, Jesse? I mean, you got to have something on the line besides a trophy. And to main event, what is your biggest event of the year in attendance, at least every year now, in the second year they've gone back to Wembley, that's some huge stakes for this tournament. It makes it a lot more interesting.
We had mentioned the similarities with Cody and AJ and then Swerve and Christian. That was kind of on the small negative side of things with secondary feuds for the world championships. You have the flip side of things with the WWE King and Queen of the Ring, the winners, Gunther and Nia Jax are going to be headlining SummerSlam, getting title shots. And now we have the Owen winners about to do the same thing at All In. I think that's going to be a great choice. Kind of gives you a little fantasy booking idea of who's going to be thrown into these things, who's going to win it. I have a great idea who I think is going to win the women's. Men's, I have no clue.
Yeah, they asked Ospreay about it in the press scrum, and he didn't seem to really know the details, or he didn't understand the question at first, but he basically said, like, you know, if I'm throwing my hat in there for a world title shot, regardless of holding the international title. So, I mean, he made it sound like he's going to be in it. I mean, I would assume he would be in it. Yeah, I am a lot more interested in it this year than last year, I'll say that. Or even 2 years ago, just because of the what's on the line there. So looking forward to that getting underway for sure.
Yeah, they could have struck while the iron was hot last year with both Willow Nightingale and Ricky Starks because Collision had just got off the ground.
Yeah.
And this was when it was at its peak and Starks beat Punk in the final. I mean, yeah, there could have been a lot of things that went in a positive direction, but you had Adam Cole and Britt Baker 2 years ago, and neither one of them really did anything with it because Britt was already a prior world champ, and Adam Cole's been having some issues with some injuries. So let's hope that this time around we can get some. I mean, AEW is very good with tournaments, so now we just hope they can get a good follow through and great matches and stories heading into All In with those main events.
Last summer, man, that's what we thought was the push of Ricky Starks. Finally, with Punk, he finally felt like that main event guy. And where is he now?
Mm-hmm.
There's theories out there, but he's
my qualms. Around.
Yeah, I know. Same. We saw big things on the horizon, and no longer. New face in the promotion, Mercedes capturing the TBS title. When you watch that match, you saw her get that big entrance with all the historical women's history figures, which I thought was really cool. She got that big entrance. It's like, there's no way she's losing her first match in the promotion. You know, they've got the built-in history with her getting injured in that match a year ago. And of course she wins. And they do the turn afterwards. What did you think about all of this, Jesse?
My favorite part of the night, hands down, was when Mercedes scored the win. Your daughter fist pumps, says yes, and turns right back over.
Wish she was asleep. My oldest daughter was like, finally had fallen asleep. She's trying to stay up all night. And right when Mercedes, her like eyes popped open. We were like, what? We thought she was asleep. And then she goes right back to sleep.
This was the match she wanted to see. It's what she wanted to stay up for the entire night. And yeah, as soon as I think the CEO entrance, she mimicked it perfectly. And then 5-10 minutes later, out cold.
Look, man, my daughter has a close connection, Mercedes Moné. I'll just say that. Way back to when I tweeted her back in the summer of 2016, my daughter wearing this Sasha Banks onesie, and she responded to that and wrote a message on it. It was pretty cool. So I always remind my oldest daughter about that. You know, she saw that baby picture of you. She really liked that Sasha Banks onesie you were in. So she digs her. I'm not complaining.
It was in competition for match of the night. I could definitely say that. Mercedes hasn't wrestled in over a year. Is May 21st when these two wrestled in California, I believe, for that New Japan Strong, for the elevating of the, or the first ever the women's strong open weight championship. Mercedes put on a hell of a performance, and I couldn't believe that. I called earlier on the show without you. I said, okay, I could see Chris Statlander turning at the end of this. I have a weird feeling, and it happened. All subtle, even though Taz has kind of alluded to it, what a great friend that Chris Statlander is, whisking Willow to the back after Stokely Hathaway got involved and wanted to blame Willow for the loss and all of that. So now we just got to get rid of, and I don't think it's going to happen, the CEO music.
Yeah, not great. Yeah, telegraph the hell out of that with that comment about Stat. Oh, she is so lucky to have a great friend in Chris Statlander. All right, here it comes. Here comes the clothesline. We're just waiting. Justin, your boy made a run-in in your studio, so I took your camera offline because I wasn't sure that you wanted him on the screen. And then he put in your earpiece, and then he was starting to talk on the mic, and I put you in the waiting room. He's probably wondering, what the hell is that? Why can't they hear me? He's like, he's singing.
What a nerd. The entire hour prior to the show starting is like, all right, you can come downstairs, but you have got to be quiet. And so naturally he has been anything but.
Yeah, of course.
He wanted to watch a demon match. So I put on Finn Balor versus Kevin Owens from Takeover Brooklyn. And he's been watching the match and mimicking every single move that they do with his Spider-Man doll.
God. It's so fun to watch wrestling with kids. I'll just say that.
Yeah, it's a blast.
Justin, while you were away, we talked about Anarchy in the Arena. Now we're talking about Mercedes and Willow. Any thoughts on Mercedes and the TBS title and how that all went down?
Just curious to see where it goes for the most part. Mm-hmm. I don't want to speak on it too much, not knowing what you guys have talked about. So probably the right move. I feel bad for Willow because it really seems like she's gaining steam right now. But I don't think you can lose much in the way of momentum by losing to, you know, a superstar of the caliber of Mercedes. So real curious to see where they go with both of them here on out.
Agree. All right. Where are we at here? We are moving quickly through this card. Oh, let's talk about this, because I know we all kind of took issue with this one. John Moxley, Takeshita, eliminator match, where if Takeshita would have won, he would have got a world title shot against Moxley. And, you know, Moxley is working hurt in this match, and yet Takeshita loses again. Are they ever going to do anything with this guy? I mean, like, this just seemed like a no-brainer that he would win. You got the out of, like, Moxley's hurting. It's not actually for the title. Sure, if you want to have Moxley retain in the actual title match, that's fine. What? He Takeshita loses? What are they? I don't know what they're doing with this guy, Jesse.
Worked over the arm that he injured the collision the night before. It was a physical bout. Takeshita actually looked very good, I think, throughout. Both men did. It was very physical. Yeah, just the absolute wrong outcome here. I kind of want Justin to go into detail on this because he's been bringing up valid points about Takeshita, I think, for the last 3-4 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, my thing, which I brought up on the podcast before, is, you know, they should have sent him over to New Japan, you know, Jack Perry style, let him build up wins and momentum there, you know, he would have been a top dog there, considering, you know, all you got to do is take a look at their roster and who's champion over there. But they didn't. And so he's just been in AEW losing. Granted, he's been losing to top guys. You know, this was kind of a, I don't know if I'm going to use this term correctly, but I'm going to throw it out there. Anyways, kind of like a catch 22, where the thing I like about AEW is they don't really have their champions lose these eliminator titles very often. And obviously Mox is a top dog. And so I like it in that regards. It's like, yeah, it wasn't for the championship. Yeah. It wouldn't have really hurt Mox that much, but you know, he's still, you know, a top star. So you have him win the big matches. And this was a big match. It's just, what the hell are they going to do with Takeshita next? They got to have a plan. I think he's been kind of grousing online about, you know, the way that he's been booked for the past, you know, 6 months to a year. So the big question, I'm not going to get upset until I see where this leads, because it's not like his career is unsalvageable or that, you know, he still can't be a top guy main eventer, Takeshita, that is. So let me see what they're going to do with him. And that's going to really color my opinion of what just happened at Double or Nothing.
Yeah. All right. So when we look at this rest of this card, because we're going to keep moving, we do have a 7 o'clock Central hard out tonight, and we want to get to Becky Lynch and the breaking news on her. So real quickly, we also had that 6-man match, the Bang Bang Gang over Death Triangle. I don't have any thoughts on that match unless you guys do.
I was just going to say that should have been included in your guys's, you know, these matches could have been cut at the very beginning of the show. That's just my overall view of this show. Is started off great with Ospreay Strong, MJF returning, and then it really lost me in the middle portion. And then by the time it picked back up with Mercedes Moné, it was 10 o'clock at night. You know, I'm a 43-year-old dad of two kids, so I was tired. You know, going back to my point of, you know, good luck, Ryan, staying up and doing some potting.
Right. Yeah,
you know, so right. It didn't really matter at that point how good those main event matches were going to be. I was tired, and I was ready for the show to be over with.
Yeah. Especially with those delicious ribs that you had prepared a few hours earlier.
Oh, yeah, that'll make you nice and tired.
So we had that. We got Adam Copeland, you know, in that cage match with the barbed wire retaining over Malakai Black by a stoppage. So Black, no submission or pinfall or anything like that. It's a stoppage. Copeland took that brutal. He gets all the way up on the top of the cage, and he looks like he's going to come down on Malakai through the table and the barbed wire. And it looked like he hesitated at the last second, and he was going to turn into like an elbow drop, but he came just feet first to the mat. And I mean, apparently he was hurting pretty bad after the match. We don't have any word on a specific injury, but it looked really bad. Worried that he was going to, you know, blow out his knees on that. That looked horrible, but he retains. Jericho retains over Hook and Shibata. I mean, it was fine. Again, that could have been on Dynamite easily. Cassidy retaining over Trent, mentioned that one earlier. Could have been a Dynamite match. And then Toni Storm retained over Serena Deeb. I thought they had a really good match. Not a ton of heat in the match, though. I don't think anyone really thought that Tony was going to lose. Yeah, Justin.
This is another one. Why in the year of our Lord 2024, I'm not religious, I'm just throwing out that statement. Do we need a 15-minute Serena Deeb world title match? It's the same thing with AJ Styles competing with Cody, Christian competing with Swerve. Nobody bought that there is even a chance that she was going to win. So why not make your champion look stronger, have this at least be a squash match. And while I'm here, the other problem I had with this card, and I apologize if you guys already covered this, so many shenanigans, so much interference, basically top to bottom. There might've been, I think, 2, maybe 3 matches that didn't have that going on, which is, I think that's really out of character for AEW.
Yeah.
So was Orange Cassidy and Trent, was that one of the only ones that didn't?
Yes, yeah. And I think the trios.
Yeah, Noel Juice.
Oh, yeah. That, so never mind. I take it back. Juice Robinson.
Yeah, because Big Bill with Jericho, you had that. And of course, Luther and Mariah May, like, trying to get involved. Mariah was going to throw in the towel on Tony. Luther stopped him, or stopped her. Then Tony blamed Luther. So slowly but surely, I think that's the match we're going to see it all in. I'm going to just call my shot there. I think there was any
Mariah
other.
And Tony?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's going to win the Owen. That's my shot.
Yeah, that's a good call. My only intrigue in that match, outside of seeing if they'd lean into the possible split, was, as we were talking about, where's Britt Baker? Is she going to come out? Is she going to face off with Tony afterwards? Britt needs to get back on the show. We need Britt Baker on the show. And so I'd like to see her come back and be the next feud, because she would at least be a believable champion. I think that, you know, if they did something in the match there where, like, Mariah costs her, Mariah and Britt would be a really interesting feud before they move Mariah into the world title picture then with Tony. I think that could, you know, if that was the next challenger, they could do something like that before they get to Tony and Mariah. We'll see. But I think, yeah, we got to get Britt Baker back here, because they're running low on challengers and she's a name. People would love to see her back. So,
yeah.
That's pretty much the card, right? I think we covered everything.
Top to bottom. Yeah. They, like Justin said, way too much interference all the way through.
Yeah. All right. Should we talk about this Becky Lynch news, you guys?
We can close it. Yes.
All right. Let me just pull up the report here. All right. So tonight on Raw starts in 13 minutes. Becky Lynch is going to be wrestling Liv Morgan in a world title cage match. So Liv won the title at King and Queen of the Ring. So they're running it back here. Becky's contract expires June 1st. So just a couple days from now. She currently does not have a new deal with the WWE. They've been talking. Numbers have been thrown out there. No deal. The expectation has always been that she will re-sign, and that she will get the biggest money deal that WWE has ever offered a female competitor, as she should. Becky, no doubt, should be the highest paid woman in the business, I think. I doubt you guys would disagree. I think that she deserves it. She brought so much attention to the women's division when she started the man stuff leading up to WrestleMania 35 and all of that. She deserves to get paid. And if she's playing hardball on this, I don't blame her one bit, because there is competition, and that's the benefit of having competition. She can play up the AEW argument to get paid, and we want these people to get paid. You're talking about a $1 billion company here. Pay your stars. So I don't blame her one bit, but, you know, if she doesn't re-sign by later this week, she's a free agent. So, I mean, that's really interesting, considering Seth just re-signed, and they don't have to stay in the same company. You would assume that they would, but we were kind of talking about this last night. It's not like the schedules are incompatible. We've seen plenty of people working for both companies as couples. And, you know, her being a mother, less dates to work. You know, she can work Wednesday nights when Seth is not on the road, and then go home for the weekend when Seth is on the road. And that's a lot better for childcare. I'm just saying, you know, I don't think I, you know, push comes to shove, I wouldn't pick that she's going to sign with AEW. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it's impossible. I still think WWE is going to make her a huge money offer and she'll re-sign. But, like, again, it's pretty intriguing. It makes me more intrigued to watch the match tonight, knowing what's going on in the background. I'll say that. Any thoughts on this, Jesse Velasquez?
She could be a trendsetter and hopefully get some larger contracts for her fellow comrades, because the WWE has been, I wouldn't say lowballing these performers, because some of them are getting paid north of seven figures. But if you consider the ratio of billions that they're making, and the millions is what they're paying, if you'd use it in a sports analogy as well, I think the NFL, NHL, MLB, and things like that, I want to say the WWE's ratio from what they're making and what they're paying their performers is, it's among the worst in professional sports.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the least Becky could do is hopefully start to just lay the groundwork down for the Rhea Ripley's, the Jade Cargill's. Let's see, even like later on, the Bron Breakers, maybe the like a Carmelo Hayes, or just people like that, like in their early 30s, or free agents to come in, because they've been complaining about that for the last Like, why didn't they bid on Ospreay? Why didn't they bid on Okada? Why didn't they try to get Mercedes back? Well, guess what? Maybe Becky's going to be that person that's going to be the gateway for it all.
Mm-hmm. And let me just say before I throw it to Justin, this is why those people that you see on social media hoping AEW goes out of business are so dumb. Like, every I don't know who they think they're standing up for, if you're standing for WWE, but I guarantee you every single person in that WWE locker room would call you an effing moron, because they want AEW to succeed, so they have this leverage. If AEW doesn't exist right now, Becky's not going to get paid what she's going to get paid. You need to have that as a performer. You need that leverage in contract negotiations. This is what had been missing all of those years. Justin, go ahead.
Yeah, just to piggyback off of that, WWE is a better product with AEW. So all those WWE homers and tribalists, I can't curse, my kids down here. They know where to go. Wrestling would be better if Becky made the switch. And yes, kind of to Jesse's point, if she leaves, that opens up a spot for one of the ladies in AEW to make the jump. You know, it would open up a spot for maybe somebody within WWE to rise up and take Becky's spot. It's just better all around. Like, what's interesting about Seth Rollins sticking in WWE? Nothing. He's done everything. Mm-hmm. Why? Yeah. Having said that, I agree with you, Ryan. I don't think there's really a chance that she's going to leave. Families can make it work, but it's just easier if, you know, you're all in one place. So I don't see it happening. It's a great tool, letting her contract actually expire to really put the pressure on them.
Yes, exactly.
I hope she gets all the money. She deserves it. So I'm assuming she will stick with WWE, but I hope she doesn't.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. We didn't do a King and Queen of the Ring post show or anything like that, by the way. I did watch the show. I also did a stream for Bleacher Report on that. You can check it out on the BR archive if you want to hear. That was Ben Cruz and Jeremy Lawson, myself. We did like a watch along on the main event. It was a pretty fun time. I thought that show, I think I gave it a C or a C plus. It was fine. Like, that's an average score for me. It wasn't anything to set the world on fire. It was very short. I mean, it was over in 3 hours, a little less than 3 hours. I thought the main event with Logan Paul and Cody was entertaining. The spot where the camera circled around Logan before he did the splash through the table that everyone has seen was eye popping in the moment. That was really cool. I thought the Orton Gunther match was very good as well.
Did you say about a 3 hour runtime?
Yeah, actually a little less, I think.
I have not seen anything but bits and pieces of this show, but A plus pay-per-view. I give that PLE an A plus.
Yes. I was not a fan of Nia Jax winning the women's crown. I thought that Lyra Valkyria would be a much more interesting choice, putting a new name on the map, you know, getting that title shot at SummerSlam. Gunther, that's going to be really interesting because he's on Raw, and we know that, you know, you got Damian Priest now with the title. We'll talk about it leading into the show here at Clash at the Castle in June, but I mean, a lot of people are expecting Drew to win there, and if Drew wins, you're talking about like a heel versus heel match at SummerSlam. So that's intriguing how that could change the title picture maybe, and what people were predicting, you know, moving forward. So we shall see. I think we all want to see Gunther win the world title though in the not too distant future. I think we're all on the same page there. So
don't even care.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. Take it from either one. Let Gunther be the king.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? I didn't even do a what's in the glass tonight like we usually do. I didn't know if you guys would be drinking or not. I did grab a beer, but I haven't opened it. What do you got, Justin?
So oddly enough, one of the guys, I hope he doesn't mind us sharing this, but one of the guys that joined us for the show, our dear friend and Bret Hart Mark, Ryan Huffman, was one of the guys who joined us, and he brought Ryan a little present. And that made me thirsty for some Toppling Goliath. So I bought some pseudo Sue today, and that's what is in the glass for the show.
Nice. Good stuff. Well, I did have a gumball head from Three Floyds on reserve here ready to go, and I will pop this open at some time tonight. That's one of my favorite lighter drinking beers. Amen. Jesse, did you have anything?
I'll be drinking on Sunday night. I have my one and only individual CrossFit competition on Saturday, and it's over on Sunday late afternoon. So yeah, as soon as it's over, I'll be popping something cold.
Good luck, buddy.
We got after it pretty hard last night, so understandable.
Yeah.
So
ribs and all.
Yeah. Guys,
I lived up to the hype.
Yeah, Justin Joint and his barbecuing always lives up to the hype. Absolutely. So guys, real quick, I didn't promote this earlier. Before we go off the air, we've had some great content drop over on our Patreon page. I'm going to put the QR code on the screen right now. So if you guys really want to support what we are doing, join the Top Rope Nation Patreon page. You can click that, or sorry, scan the QR code right there. If you're listening to the podcast version, the link is in the podcast description. There it is. That is the best way to support Top Rope Nation. And we have so much bonus content available. I'm actually going to put it on the screen and show you guys what's on the Patreon page right now, because we've released a lot of stuff recently. But yeah, QR, scan that right now. All right. So look at this. Over on the Patreon page, this is the collections section. This is what you get when you join the Top Rope Nation Patreon page. You get access to 149 bonus shows that we have done as of right now. If you are looking for classic pro wrestling talk, look no further than Top Rope Nation Classics, where we just released a 2-hour deep dive on Spring Stampede 1999, our most recent edition of TRN Classics. You see it there on the screen. But we do these deep dives every single month. We go 2 to 3 hours. We talk about everything happening in the world of wrestling at the time, our own memories of those shows. Sometimes we get people on the line who actually attended the shows themselves, like when we did WrestleMania 18. We had our good friend Jay Schmitz on the show. We went almost 3 hours on that one. The only way you can hear that show is by becoming a patron, just $5 a month. In Your House Final Four, Royal Rumble 91, World Class Pro Wrestling, and down the line, there's 53 editions of these classic shows. And that's not all. You get TRN Unplugged, which is Jesse Velasquez's personal show. You can see that in the collections here. You get Top Rope Nation Extra. Those are shows like my hot reaction last night to Double or Nothing right after the show went off the air. The only way to hear that on patreon.com. You can see Jesse's TRN Unplugged archives here. All of these bonus shows. So if you like this show right now, you like the flagship, you have got to get on the Patreon page, because that is where, quite frankly, the majority of our content is going these days. You know, we do these once a week flagships on the main feed, but we're doing so much stuff over there on Patreon, because those are the people that are really keeping this show going, yes, supporting what we're doing, pledging that $5 a month. We really, really appreciate you guys doing that and taking your fandom of this show to the next level, guys. So thank you for your support as always. And if you're thinking about joining up, no better time than right now to check out the Top Rope Nation Patreon page. If you want to support us for free and you're watching on YouTube right now, hit that subscribe button and hit the like button. That helps us in the YouTube algorithm so much. And if you're on the podcast side, please hit subscribe. Leave us 5 stars, a written review, even better. Would really, really appreciate that. Guys, any closing thoughts? We're right on time here. It's 7 o'clock Central coming up here in like 30 seconds. So Justin, you're on mute, I think. I can't hear you.
Yeah, sorry. I have to mute when you guys are talking, because yes, my kid's out of control. Lastly, RIP Bill Walton, one of the all-time greats.
Oh, we lost him to that. I didn't even see that. That sucks. Man. Jesse, thoughts?
Good show last night. Better company. Looking forward to the next few weeks of extra shows we'll be doing, especially with that super short Raw. That's going to be fun. The episode.
That's our next classics. Yeah, it's a May 1997 edition of Raw's War that we're going to be going back and reviewing here in the next couple of weeks. So that'll also be hitting the Patreon feed very, very soon. Jesse, you got some big stuff planned for Unplugged. I know you're going to be doing like a history of Top Rope Nation with Justin and I at some point in the near future. That should be a good listen for fans of this show. That's going to be on the Patreon side as well, on TRN Unplugged.
Adding to that show, we'll close with Kel Dansby and Andreas Hale, who, by the way, were front row last night at Double or Nothing.
Yeah. They're going to be on TRN Unplugged. There you go. Another reason to join the Patreon to hear that show. Good stuff.
And then one last shout out as well, which I said in the moment, Floyd Mayweather. I'm like, it looks like Floyd Mayweather behind the screen. And it was.
Yeah. Swerve talked about him in the post-show scrum. you know, about like, this is a guy who can bring more eyeballs to the product. They've known each other for a while, and this is the kind of thing that he's going to continue to do. Great to see. Great move, obviously.
Need more of that stuff.
Good stuff. All right, guys, this has been episode 343 of Top Rope Nation. Thanks for joining us live or on demand, however you tuned in, and we will talk to you all again very soon. Take care.
Flamethrowers rule.